Okay, we got Larry Beecraft in the balance of the hour coming up after the 8 after. I know we got loaded phones, and I've done a pretty good job lately of getting to some of your phone calls. But right now, let's jam in as many calls as we can. I'm trying to pull up my call list right now. I'm going to try to get in as many as I can, so just a minute or two from each person before we get our guest on about Elena Kagan and the ongoing nightmare Supreme Court nomination that's going on right now. So we'll break down who this woman really is and what she really stands for. We've got her college thesis here about socialism. You want to be Hillary Clinton or you want to be a Supreme Court justice, you got to be a commie because that's all Goldman Sachs bankroll. She's also a Goldman Sachs partner. Of course the banks want you to be a communist. You give them all your money, they give you a machine gun in the face. Hi, I'm Elena Kagan. You know, Mrs. Penguin. Let's go ahead and talk to Joe in Hawaii. You're on the air, Joe.
Hey, hi, Alex Jones. You've been doing a great job. I commend you for that.
Well, I try my best.
I just wanted to mention to you, you talked about how people that were born in the 70s were on a database, and I wanted to comment on that, they like to use two decades, I guess, you know, because it kind of like there's a lot of bias and, you know, and...
Well, all I know is the facts. In a worldwide program in almost every industrialized country, starting in 1972-73... all blood was taken from babies at birth, and they told them, oh, it's a blood test, honey. And it was sent to the Pentagon for bioweapons research, mainly. And now that's all declassified. I got the secret documents 15 years ago. People wouldn't believe it. Go ahead.
Well, anyways, so I think that that's, you know, I've been fighting this for quite some time. I wrote a letter to Dan Rather back in 89, and he didn't reply back to me.
I would imagine he got, you know, gets a lot of mail, but
okay. But anyways, I was the reason that, you know, I noticed like on TV and so forth, there's a lot of biasness on certain ages that they, you know, prefer. And
well, they're always playing class off, race off, what, you know, time frame you came from. It's all about categorizing things so they can divide and conquer us instead of, I'm into liberty, I'm into freedom, I'm against tyranny, because almost everyone is for liberty. So they try to confuse us and have us go off of, I've got a mohawk, well, I wear a cowboy hat. All these little niches and little fake terms we attach to ourselves. I'm not saying it's bad if you wear a cowboy hat or have a mohawk. I don't care. People see some of my crew, and some are conservative-looking, some are preppy-looking, some look like hippies, some look like punk rockers. You know, I don't care what you look like. It's the content of your actions that I care about. I have found, though, statistically, sometimes people into certain types of genres and things are into self-destructive things, and I stay away from them. But I appreciate your call, Joe. I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and talk to Josh in California. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you know, I was wondering, I've noticed recently, every time I've seen an oil spill on television anywhere, like the Exxon Valdez, a number of them, they've always been black. And I've noticed that there's a lot of red in all of this, and they haven't really explained that. But I was curious if you had heard anything about the...
Yeah, hypocrisy. I can explain it. Most of what you're seeing, in fact, I saw this on CBS, I saw it on ABC, I meant to do a YouTube about it a month ago. They would show crews picking up oil, and it wasn't oil. It was seaweed. A couple months ago, it started coming in. It comes in the spring, and it's there all summer. On the south coast, on the coast of the Gulf, there's seaweed, and it's green in the water, and it's red a day out of the water, and then it shrivels up and turns black. And most of what they cleaned up was seaweed, and so it's the media panicking and showing seaweed, sometimes seaweed mixed with oil, because the oil hasn't come in yet. The real fun starts once it comes into shore, and so they're fear-mongering. But also, I've seen some of it coming out of the wellhead that's red, so there's different types of crude oil.
So you think the massive Gulf oil leak won't affect the air you breathe?
Think again.
Benzene, a toxic gas emitted from crude oil and a known carcinogen, is now airborne, traveling hundreds, even thousands of miles inland. Whether you live near the Gulf or not, benzene and other volatile organic compounds could cause adverse reactions to those living inside your home. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, came to airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to clean the air on boats aiding in the Gulf cleanup. Do what NOAA did. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
The question is, where should the American people draw their line in the sand?
What have we got? A republic or a monarchy?
A republic
is based on a constitution which protects minority rights.
Not democracy, not mob rule, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
So they think they own our land, they think they own our water, children, our education, our money.
We have to define who we are and what we will tolerate.
Somebody's going to ask you what you did during the Patriot Uprising.
You have been warned.
We have the facts. We have the Constitution. We have the Bill of Rights. We have common law. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited to be able to offer you, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. Tyranny is upon us, but liberty and the sleeping giant that is the American people is rising. A new tool in the info war. Don't Tread on Me. Order it at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or call toll-free 888-253-3131. And support independent, patriotic, liberty films.
What if your local grocery store was suddenly closed?
What if?
What if a crisis of world events caused anarchy?
What if?
The time to prepare yourself and your family for what if is now. For 1 week only, Ready Made Resources offers all GCN listeners 25% off of all Mountain House case lots.
And that includes free shipping.
Go to readymaderesources.com. See the variety of our quality Mountain House foods in a wide selection for every taste. Mountain House foods have a 25-year shelf life and are easy to prepare. Just add water for great tasting snacks or meals.
Yes, there is a catch.
This 25% off of case lots only lasts through June 30th. Hurry, go to readymaderesources.com. Or call 1-800-627-3809 and mention GCN to get 25% off per case of Mountain House Foods with free shipping. That's 800-627-3809 or go to readymaderesources.com.
Hurry, sale ends June 30th.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, joining us for the next 52 minutes is Larry Becraft, constitutional attorney based in Huntsville, Alabama, who specializes in criminal defense cases, primarily involving the federal income tax. And he's won a lot of cases in the highest courts of the land. He's a real patriot constitutional lawyer. That's why we like to have him on. In fact, we should have him on a lot more than we've had him on. Just time flies when you're fighting tyranny and having fun. And we'll give you his website on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers as well, and have him verbally give it out to radio listeners coming up. Now, he sent us something I hadn't seen. I'd seen some of her law papers. I'd seen decisions and positions she put out as Solicitor General. I had seen how she lobbied in White House minutes for radical political agenda. She's anti-Second Amendment. She's made statements like, if the government doesn't like speech, we can disappear it. We've got the diversity czar in the White House saying we need to have censorship like Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. I've seen Cass Sunstein, of course, say put a tax on at first the Internet and alternative news, then start arresting people. That's now been proposed by the FCC and made national news, even in the Associated Press. I mean, this is really happening, to start the taxing, to start the black boxes that decide what you can get, the prior restraint of information. So it's all going on. But I wanted to get him on last week about Kagan coming out, but he separately this morning sent us her thesis. The conclusion's lengthy, and I've only read part of it, but he's read the whole 100-page document, The Final Conflict. The globalists always call it the final revolution, the final conflict, socialism in New York City, 1900 to 1933. And just scanning over it, I said to B-Crab, is this how the socialist wonderful dream failed when the progressives tried to take over? And he said, yes. So we're going to get him to go over the lowlights of this. And of course, last year we got Hillary's thesis that had been sealed. How great Lenin was. How great. I mean, these people are monsters. They are revolutionaries overthrowing our republic. They want to silence you. They want to make you a ward of the state. But I wanted to first, with Larry Beecraft, get his take, and he has heard it, I asked him, of Kagan's own words, it's fine if the law bans books because government won't really enforce it. This is her before the Supreme Court as the Solicitor General, and the Supreme Court saying, well, this statute that's being challenged in a court case, we're saying it should be changed. Not even a statute, it's a regulation, because it doesn't matter if it hasn't been used. This says the government can ban books preemptively, and so we want it thrown out. And she says, no, if it hasn't been used, we're not going to voluntarily change it in the federal agencies because it doesn't matter, because she wants to keep that power there. And I don't know what you legally call this, but the justices, you know, got angry with her and did reverse her. But here's an article, Nat Hentoff, Philadelphia man indicted for using right to free speech. And I read this earlier in the show, but I want to reread it because it's so important. This has been all over the news, but the news is reporting it as if it's a good thing. Bruce Shore had lost his job. He saw Senator Jim Bunning on C-SPAN on Washington Journal talking about how he didn't want to have to go debate unemployment benefits because he wanted to go to a baseball game. And that made the man livid. Because he was on unemployment, so he sent an email saying, are you all insane? That's quote, no checks equal no food for me. Do you get it? And then it goes on how the grand jury indicted him, the FBI arrested him, and U.S. Marshals came and got him, and they quoted in the indictment by the grand jury the language in the Communications Act of 1934 as amended and updated and including electronic messages of the Telecommunications Act of 96. And it said he did utilize the device to abuse, threaten, or harass any person who received the communication. And so they're now saying, well, calling them crazy or asking if you're insane is now an act of again, what's the key term they use here? Of trying to find it, of annoyance. Annoyance will put you in prison. Now, if that isn't the essence of tyranny, I don't know what is. So I wanted to dovetail that with Kagan's asinine statement of, well, just because it's on the books and we haven't used it, let's leave it there. Let's get Larry Beecraft's take on that. Larry, thank you for joining us.
Best pleasure, Alex. How you doing?
Good. Break down what you think of this before I play the short clip.
You mean Kagan?
Yes, Kagan's arguing that we can have a law on the books to ban books.
This gets back around to, if you remember when Sotomayor was being going through her confirmation hearings, you know, she was asked questions about the Second Amendment. And, you know, she seemed to acknowledge, you know, what, gee, you know, it's, it means what it says. You know, I'm not going to be an advocate on the court that's going to do something different. And yet, yesterday when that decision came out, guess where Sotomayor is? She's in the minority. She's against it.
Yeah, she said, I support the Chicago total gun ban, just like the attorney general, just like Obama as a senator. I mean, they're a pack of liars.
Kagan, Kagan has an agenda. And her agenda is revealed. One of the two things that I haven't had access to are some University of Chicago Law Review articles that she wrote. She wrote one in 1993, and she wrote one in 1996. The first one is entitled Regulation of Hate Speech and Pornography. And the second one in 96, Private Speech, Public Purpose, The Role of Governmental Motive in the First Amendment Doctrine. Now, if you take a look at, you know, all the cases dealing with the First Amendment, take into consideration what the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law. And then take a look at the decisions, and, you know, the court's pretty strong in upholding First Amendment rights and saying government.
Yeah, her opinion in these law reviews is ass backwards.
Absolutely. But she has an agenda, and the agenda is to move away and bring in a new criteria for judging rights under the First Amendment. You know, right now, the way the Supreme Court would look at it is, here's speech, somebody said it, and it's government abridging it, stopping the speech. She wants to come come along, and if you read these two law review articles that she's written, her objective is to, well, let's bring in a new format here for analysis of it. And government can regulate speech if government has a good motive.
And the quote is, if we're stopping discrimination, prior constraint is okay, we can disappear the speech.
Correct. I think that's one of the reasons why she's being promoted to the court.
Yeah, they said, my God, this woman ought to be running Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. In fact, you say you have those papers. I've read them before on air, but do you have those actual quotes in front of you?
Well, I don't have those quotes. I've got some quotes that I pulled up for the purposes of the show. Like in the 1993 Law Review article, you know, she stated, the question I pose is whether there are any ways to achieve at least some of the goals of, you know, anti-pornography and anti-hate in spite of the First Amendment. And then she goes on to say, well, you know, we could come up with some legislation that might be able to surmount the First Amendment hurdles. That's her major point that she makes in her 93.
Yeah, I've seen that quote. Like the First Amendment's a hurdle you got to get over. And boy, isn't she a genius, because she's going to figure out. I mean, Thomas Jefferson had these quotes about, you know, let's not have people in there in the future that twist the meaning of things. Let's be very clear. And it is very clear.
Well, that's exactly what her purpose is to change the meaning, make it more confusing, to totally stand it on its head. Now, the 96 Law Review article she wrote had, you know, she bringing in a new concept, and you'll find that, you know, Law Review articles written by, you know, the pointy-headed people like Elena Kagan, you know, the whole purpose is to begin to change the philosophy of things. And, you know, in this particular article, she's bringing in the idea that, well, you know, we ought to look at the First Amendment from the perspective of, you know, does the government have a good motive? And, you know, if the government has a motive in suppressing a certain speech, and it's, you know, it's a beneficial and it's a good motive, that plays a role in whether or not we can squelch free speech. And so you can see, if she gets on the court, First Amendment, you know, she's going to begin the corrosion of what we have to understand today is way in the way of our First Amendment rights. That's her whole purpose for getting on the court. Would you agree or disagree?
Also,
she's a big friend of Cass Sunstein. She mentions him in this 1996.
Well, he's the one that brought her into Harvard, and of course, she's a former Goldman Sachs member, and he minces no words. He says, I want to arrest people, and we've read his quotes. No, I mean, I agree with you totally. I've read the same law papers that you've read. I just want to get your view on it, and it's just that it gets more and more incredible how brazen they are. I mean, this woman is not suited. She's never tried a case. She's never been a judge.
She's a millionaire.
So I guess
she's a millionaire, Alex. Don't forget that.
Yeah, so she's rich, so it's okay.
Right. Hey, Alex, you know, let's get back to what she wrote in 1981. You know, she was a student at Princeton, and she had to write a thesis. So she sat out, and you know that somebody, you know, let's go back to the days when you and I were that age, you know, early 20s. Has your mindset really changed since you were 20, 21?
No.
You've learned more facts, and you've matured in your same beliefs.
Yes, I was pro Second Amendment, pro property rights, patriotic American, and my parents passed on what I can now look back in hindsight, the proper, you know, view, the only view, pro liberty, true freedom, true individualism, and it's only become more seasoned and more intense.
Well, she's from the same mold. She has gone down through the same process. She was socialistic. She wouldn't sit down and write 130 pages about the history of socialism in a 20-year period at the first part of the 20th century, 1901 through about 1919, 1920. She writes a history of, you know, why the socialistic movement in New York, you know, got rolling, and, you know, how it had to go through a bunch of battles, and, you know, how it waned and, you know, didn't have any influence. Now, that is so, when you sit down and read what she wrote in her thesis, you can tell she's not someone that is against communism. She is somebody that throws in all the little faces, you know, the glories of socialism. She loves it.
Stay there. You've got the thesis, and I haven't seen anybody cover this, so I'm glad you ferreted this out. Larry Beecraft, constitutional lawyer and scholar, is our guest. We're going to come back and go through her writings, go through what this thesis says, and then I'm going to ask him about this new Second Amendment ruling. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Alex Jones with some important questions. If you're going into a battle, and they give you a rifle and a sidearm, how much ammunition do you want? My answer would be, all I can get. In the battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your only ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it? Now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Can you buy it without proper identification? Will there be any food? Will it make your children sick? If there's a quarantine and you can't feed yourself, will you go to the gathering center and be immunized? You wipe out all these problems if you have a good food supply. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. I'm Alex Jones. I want all of you good guys to live to fight another day. Call 1-800-409-5633 or check it out on the web at efoodsdirect.com. Again, that number, 1-800-409-5633.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depth to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Larry Becraft, constitutional lawyer, is our guest. We're looking at the confirmation of Elena Kagan. Will she be confirmed? Republicans are leaning towards, at least the leadership, saying they're going to confirm her. You had four of the nine, that's a good point Larry made out of the gates, who said, we believe in total gun bans in America. It's not an individual right, yesterday. And the way I read that decision is, but we'll talk about this in the next segment with him, is that, oh, you got a right, but we can regulate it down to nothing. And so this is the first time the Supreme Court, from my knowledge, has ruled that they have a right to start restricting. So I see it as a big defeat overall, kind of like the last ruling. Say, well, we can regulate and restrict them. You just can't be a total restriction. But we'll get Larry Becraft's take on that coming up later. Larry, getting back into her thesis, here it is, conclusion to the thesis. As she's basically just talking about why the poor socialist didn't completely take America down. And like they were able to in the Soviet Russia. Please continue.
Well, Alex, I think a conclusion. You know, this is a lady that wrote about for 130-plus pages in her thesis, The Glories of Socialism. She examined a 20-year period. It shows to me she's studying exactly what she likes. Now, the conclusion is a very good demonstration of how she feels. Could I read the very last paragraph of the conclusion of her thesis?
Oh, no, read all the quotes you want directly.
Well, right here, through its own internal feuding, then, the Socialist Party exhausted itself forever and further reduced labor radicalism in New York to the position of marginality and insignificance from which it has never recovered. The story is a sad but also chastening one for those who, more than a half a century after socialism's decline, still wish to change America. Radicals have often succumbed to the devastating bane of sectarianism. It is easier, after all, to fight one's fellows than it is to battle an entrenched and powerful foe. Yet if the history of local New York shows anything, it is that American radicals cannot afford to become their own worst enemies. In unity lies their only hope. She penned these words. She wants the forces of socialism that were battling each other back in the early part of the 20th
century. Well, they're a pack of parasites. They can never
in the battle to unite and become America's radicals.
And of course they can't ever work together. They're a bunch of parasites. A bunch of vampires, and vampires can't feed on vampires, but the big banks literally finance these monsters because they socialize working people's wealth and then give it to themselves, and the poor working people that got conned into socialism, they end up in a work camp. Did you see her yesterday and today? The way I've never seen somebody in a confirmation hearing for the cabinet, for the military, scowl and act crazed. She is so arrogant. I mean, did you see that?
Well, I heard your comments yesterday, and only because of what you said yesterday, did last night, I watched on the boob tube, some coverage of it, and I agree 100% with what you had to say. She was scowling. She's scary to look at. What more do you need to say, Alex?
Well, I mean, yeah, I see people that aren't the classic attractive all the time, but if they have a jovial, nice attitude, I find them attractive. I mean, it's almost like a light bulb in somebody. If it's a nice light, they look nice. It could be an old fat man, doesn't matter. But if somebody's evil, I mean, when I look at her, I was getting upset yesterday. They had her on the TV set. There's a TV set. In fact, guys, show them the document cam. There's a television set in here in the control room and the broadcast studio, and I was looking at her, and it was just flipping me out that this maggot, this anti-Second Amendment, anti-free speech monster, that my children will live under this witch. And just the power-tripping, arrogant scowl, it was driving me into a rage, Larry.
People, you know, with that type of internal makeup, that internal makeup shows through in not only their personality but their physical features. So, you know, you weren't looking at somebody that was concealed. You got to see actually who she was, and that's scary.
Well, that's another great point, Larry. I continue. We're going to break here in a moment, but continue with any other quotes out of the thesis. I mean, that was, in fact, reread that. That was so telling.
Well, let me read the beginning of it. In our own times, a coherent socialist movement is nowhere to be found in the United States. Americans are more likely to speak of a golden past than of a golden future, of capitalism's glories than of socialism's greatness. Conformity overrides dissent. The desire to conserve has overwhelmed the urge to alter. Such a state of affairs cries out for an explanation. She gives the explanation. Why, in a society by no means perfect, has a radical party never attained the status of a major political force?
But now they have with Obama, and you've got in his book he wrote and on TV, he says he loves Saul Alinsky. That's Chris Matthews. He loves communism. But then if you even call government health care socialism, Chris Matthews calls you a racist. He knows what he's doing. He's using race card to bully you into submitting to his murderous takeover. These people are parasite criminals who want your guns.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Interrupting B-Craft, as I always do, and my banter. So I want him to go back through her treatise, through her thesis, through some of her other quotes here in a moment, and then I want to play the audio of her before the Supreme Court as the Solicitor General, where she talks about banning books and says, well, we don't have to get that off the books because we haven't ever used it. Well, then why wouldn't you get rid of it? And the Supreme Court Justices Scalia and others basically excoriate her on that subject. I want to tell you about some of the sponsors first that made today's radio broadcast possible. One of them is Blue Diamond Gusset Jeans. They got jeans, they got shorts, they've got motorcycle jeans that are very affordable that have Kevlar sewed into them. So that's a lot better than leather and a lot cooler. They're made in America, in Tennessee and Georgia. So a lot of you out there say you want made in America. These are the best jeans. Aaron loves them. I've bought pairs. They don't rip on you. They're basically double stitched. Just check it out. Diamond Gusset. It's Gusset Clothing, G-U-S-S-E-T, clothing. Gusset. GussetClothing.com. That's GussetClothing.com or 888-8-GUSSET. That's 888-8-GUSSET. They got motorcycle jeans, especially in the summer. People are out motorcycling around. They got their whole line of motorcycle jeans. They got regular jeans. You name it. This is the way to go, made right here in America. Stop financing your own destruction. 888-8-GUSSET or GussetClothing.com. And lastly, if you don't want to drink all the chlorine and the dead bacteria and the sodium fluoride and all the rest of it, the little socialist control freaks that started out in Soviet Russia putting fluoride in the water and now here in the U.S., that'll learn, you scum Americans. You don't love the socialist revolution? We'll just poison your water. Look at them. They're retarded now. There's nothing they can do to us. We're the little pinhead chicken necks. Well, if you don't want your kids drinking the poison these scum are putting in there, go to purewaterfreedom.com. You know, we got to start hating these people. We got to start being right out in the open. They hate us. We got to stop just mincing words here. Purewaterfreedom.com. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, your whole house, purewaterfreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home, or you can trust the scum like Elena Kagan, because she cares about you and your family, with a whole house fluoride system. And by the way, I have the White House Science Czar's own book about putting stuff in the water to sterilize you. We're not joking around here. Purewaterfreedom.com. All their filters are made in the USA. I know that'll upset the globalists because they got to bring America down first so they can make us all dependent on them. But if we buy American at Pure Water Freedom, that's another good way to stop these creatures. Purewaterfreedom.com. All right, going back to Larry Beecraft. Larry, start over again. I mean, just say you got 5 minutes, closing statements to the jury about Elena Kagan. And you're trying to stop her, and people are calling Congress right now, and they're calling the media, and they're trying to sneak her through. The Republicans are playing possum on this. I mean, they're letting it go through. You got 5 minutes to address the world. What would you say to them about Hare Elena Kagan?
She grew up a socialist. She had a radical brother that introduced her to what's a philosophy. That was socialism. She investigated that and found that the radical way of life was to her liking. Now, that radical way of life is just like everybody that's in favor of communism. Communism is nothing more than a raw power clique at the top of society. They want to steal from the rest of everybody else. So they go through this brainwashing program to the effect that says, well, you have no rights. You don't even have the right to property. And once you get a populist that's brainwashed like that, the ruling elite can take whatever they want. And they can do with everybody whatever they please. That is the ideas that Elena Kagan loves. She loved it so much, rather than when she was in school at Princeton, wanting to graduate and confronting the task of writing a thesis. You know, somebody that's going to write a thesis is going to pick a topic that they know they're going to have to investigate, and they're going to do something, they're going to write about something that they like. Elena Kagan picked a history, a little-known history of socialism, the march towards socialism in New York. And she did a pretty good job investigating historical facts. But when you sit down and read it, you come to the real conclusion that this lady is dyed-in-the-wool socialism. And if she wrote that at the age of 21, 22, 23, you know that somebody like that hasn't changed their outlook on the world. She still really believes in that philosophy. The only thing that's changed is she has matured, and her ideas along the same line have only become more profound. That is Elena Kagan. And, of course, you know, most people, you know, I'm a red-blooded American man just like you, and we can take a look at certain women and certain men and make a determination as to their sexual propensities. And that's, of course, what Elena Kagan likes. So not only is she coming from this socialistic background, the legal scholar that she is, and let me just tell you, Alex.
Even CBS News said that she was a lesbian, and I mean, the point is, if she is one, why not be honest about it?
Well, I'm not saying anything about it, but I just don't traffic with those types of people.
Well, I mean, my issue is that
they live in their own world. But I do
exactly.
Like,
but when she was in the Clinton administration, she tried to make all her decisions according to that.
Well, that's if you take a look at what she has that agenda. That is an agenda of a minority here in America. That is not an agenda that is looking out for the best interests of everybody as a whole. She is in there to pursue her own and to protect her own special interests. And if you read her 93 and 96 Law Review articles that she wrote for the University of Chicago Law Review, that is exactly what she wants
to do. It's all she talks about. She's obsessed with it. Instead of cutting my taxes and leaving my private property alone and letting me raise my kids, she wants to come in and brainwash me and my family. She's obsessed with this issue. That's all she cares about. And her and Sonia Sotomayor, I guess, can, you know, go fishing together.
Well, what more can I say, Alex? You just finished it off.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's good. How about the gun issue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's get into that.
You know, 2 years ago, right about now, we had the Heller decision came out. Now, I followed the Heller decision as it went up because a good friend of mine, Dane von Breichenbrughardt, with the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation in Washington, D.C., his landlord was Dick Heller. And he's the guy that set up the whole Heller case. And when they went through, when they created the factual foundation that would enable them to go to court to litigate the gun ban, you know, Dane is the one that set all that up. You ought to get him on the show. But, you know, I followed all the steps going up through the courts, you know, on the Heller case. Because, you know, I talked to Dane. Well, gee, where are things going on with it right now? And it ultimately resulted in something beneficial. And that demonstrates that, you know, one of the things the freedom movement doesn't do, you know, we have a lot of people just kind of running around that don't, you know, don't know where to go or what to do. Here's an illustration of something that was successful. They sat down and planned a legal course of litigation, and they carefully planned it and went all the way to the Supreme Court. And guess what? We got the Heller decision. Now, the same thing with the McDonald case. You know, they made a very careful the litigation strategy that has resulted in another favorable, you know, to a degree favorable decision. And I certainly concur with you about what the court is indicating, the limits of the police power. And that's something I want to talk about and mention here in the closing moments of the show. You know, Alex, if you know, I see where the gun rights battle is going to go. I think we're going to have to shift over to, you know, while we were dealing with the Second Amendment, and really the Second Amendment, if it's going to be incorporated through the 14th Amendment and made applicable to the states, you know, the Second Amendment, in my view, is not as powerful as a lot of the state constitutional provisions in the same respect.
Now, so you're saying we've got to use the state constitutions against these cities and counties that are out of control.
Absolutely. But the reason why they got to do it up in Chicago is you don't have a constitutional provision for in the Illinois Constitution. But let me read to you the Alabama Constitution, and you will see that this provision is, in my view, and I think you'll agree, that it's stronger than the Second Amendment. It says that every citizen has a right to bear arms in defense of himself and the state. Now, that doesn't have any relationship to the militia. And it also talks about you have a right to bear arms in defense of yourself. Now, the Texas Constitution reads almost identical, except there's an acknowledgement of this thing known as the police power. And I want to discuss the police power in just a second. But the Texas Constitution says every citizen shall have the right to keep and bear arms in the lawful defense of himself or the state. But the legislature shall have power, by law, to regulate the wearing of arms with a view to prevent crime. Now, you know, that second phrase right there after the semicolon, you know, but the legislature shall have power. You know, that's an acknowledgement. That's a real good description. You know, when a lawyer looks at that and says, you know, that's based on the police power of the state. Now, the police power of the state is something that the Patriot Movement doesn't know anything about, the Freedom Movement. And it's something that we need to really understand the reach and scope of the police power of the state. And when you sit down and study that subject matter, you'll reach the conclusion that the limits, here is one of the limits of the power of the state, the police power of the state, and the state cannot prevent. There is no lawful authority for government to stop the people from doing something beneficial for themselves. The police power of the state extends to those things that protect the health, safety, and welfare of the state for an activity that would harm the health, welfare, or safety of the people. You can enact laws, but then again, there's a whole lot of stupid laws.
And they're always using the welfare clause to basically enslave us, just like they use, you know, federally the Commerce Clause. But here's how I read the decision as a layman, and I will defer to you as a, you know, as a very successful constitutional law scholar and constitutional lawyer. But I understand that the suits were good. The reasons for the suits were good. The NRA in both briefings went in and added their own amicus brief that they add on to it. that basically agreed, we say you can, you know, restrict guns under the law. You just can't say there's an outright ban here. And, of course, the head of Gun Owners of America has agreed that overall it can be seen as positive that they didn't just outright say you have no right to a Second Amendment, turn all your guns in. But four of the nine did say that in both cases. But now... I heard Violence Policy Center and Handgun Control Incorporated on TV, on radio, both saying, oh, this is great for us. Sure, it says you might have some right under law if the city so chooses, basically, to let you jump through the red tape to allow some people to have guns in some cases. But we're now going to use this in other areas to state that we do have this, you have a Second Amendment, except when abridged by law. So they see it as the first time the Supreme Court, in my knowledge, is saying, yeah, you got a Second Amendment, and that Second Amendment's a right for us to write a bunch of red tape and make it almost impossible.
Well, that's certainly the thrust of the decision itself, that here you have a right, and there's a police power regulation that can control that right. What I am saying in response to that, hear me out. Let me ask you this, Alex. Can the government pass a law that if a citizen is attacked by, you know, a burglar, that the citizen could not defend himself? Or the citizen
no, they cannot restrain you from a right you already have. That's why we have the right of citizen's arrest, which they're trying to eradicate, because it shows inherent in us, you know, as the top of the food chain in the governmental system, a government for and by we the people. Now, they have tried to pass laws like that in Chicago, and they're now trying to prosecute people, and England does it. And it shows the government wants the monopoly of force, like the mafia, where you've got to go to them to get your insurance, and then they don't provide it. And the courts have ruled that police have no liability to protect you. So I believe that they do not have a right to do that, and the courts have shown that.
Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is to offer, you know, the new groundwork, a new way of thinking, you know, to change everybody's mindset, to start thinking about, you know, a different way of looking at your rights. And if the state simply does not have the right to enact a law that would prevent you from defending yourself when you're attacked by, you know, some criminal, if they don't have that power, then where do they have the power to come along and say you can't use arms in defense of yourself? Because the limits of the state government, the government can't harm the people. Any time that the government comes along and harms the people, it's acting against its power.
It's no, I totally power. Agree with you. You're absolutely right, and that's a key point you brought up here. You know, there... Every statistic shows, back in the 60s, people were trying to be trendy. It was almost 50-50 pro-gun rights, anti-gun rights. Now the polls I see are in the 70s or higher. The momentum shifting. All the liberals I know are out literally buying guns. They've broken their conditioning. The gun culture is back and is really growing. And I think they're horrified and desperately going for everything right now. And I think in their miscalculation and their attempt to really get us down on the ground, that they're going to reveal themselves and that we are going to beat these people. I can feel it. I can see it. What do you see, Larry B. Kraft?
Well, you know, here's what happened in the last couple of years. You know, I've been involved with the organized freedom movement for more than 30 years. I met Tupper Sausage back in 1979, Alex, and I've been with the organized freedom movement ever since. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of the freedom movement. But the movement has grown, and then it's been attacked, and it's, you know, people have fallen out and, you know, gone the way. But what has changed, and I really want to tell you that I believe Ron Paul really started it. You know, when Ron Paul got his candidacy going, you know, that kicked, you know, you could ride around town and people I never knew even knew anything about
it. Was
Ron
a
Paul,
catalyst. It was a catalyst for the final for the final illusion that we're alone, to show us just how powerful we are.
Absolutely. And then I think that was a critical in bringing back the Tea Parties. And yes, I would like to think, you know, I really do think that we are on the cusp of reasserting our power and moving forward. But we've got to do it in a very careful, organized way.
And we've got to never stop, and we've got to realize it's life and death. I want to play a clip of a congressman, Congressman King, talking about Obama's birth certificate. As we go to break, we're going to come back and play the Kagan clip of her saying, yes, the government can have laws on the books to ban books. But here's the birth certificate issue coming up.
For their $44,000, that's their share of the national debt. A little baby with ink on their foot, stamped right there on the birth certificate. There's one in this country we haven't seen, but the footprint on those we have seen, those little babies. Oh, Uncle Sam, $44,000.
You know, regardless of whether he was born in Hawaii or not, and it tends, the way they're acting, it looks like Kenya, and his grandmother does say it. We know he was an Indonesian citizen, and we know that he had to give up his citizenship to do that, and we know his real name is Barry Sitaro. What are we doing having a president who we can't even figure out his real name? I mean, I think that was done by design to set a precedent.
Hey, Alex, you know, the president is part of the enactment of laws. Congress comes along and passes laws. It doesn't become a law, you know, unless there's a overriding of a veto or, you know, he doesn't take any action. But he signs off on this legislation. And by his signature on legislation, it becomes a law. If we ultimately can prove, and I believe that Barry Sotero is not an American citizen, that then becomes an unconstitutional act, and it has an effect upon every bit of legislation at the federal level. And that may very well be, and that's the reason why, you know, a lot of these people come along and say, you don't need to be talking about the birth certificate issue. You know, to me it's real important because it has an effect upon the legitimacy of the federal government. If we have somebody there that doesn't exercise, is not a lawful occupant of the office, and yet he's participating in enacting laws.
Everything else is a fraud. Larry Becraft, stay there. Search his name, Larry Becraft, for his website.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days, 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
The question is, where should the American people draw their line in the sand?
What have we got? A republic or a monarchy?
A republic
is based on a constitution which protects minority rights.
Not democracy, not mob rule, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
So they think they own our land, they think they own our water, children, our education, our money.
We have to define who we are and what we will tolerate.
Somebody's going to ask you what you did during the Patriot Uprising.
You have been warned.
We have the facts. We have the Constitution. We have the Bill of Rights. We have common law. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited to be able to offer you, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. Tyranny is upon us, but liberty and the sleeping giant that is the American people is rising. A new tool in the info war. Don't Tread on Me. Order it at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. And support independent, patriotic, liberty films.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The
tropical storm Alex is forecast to become a hurricane in the next day and to make landfall the next day and a half. It is going to push a lot of oil out of the Gulf that's out in the middle of the Gulf into the Gulf states in the U.S., and Obama is doing everything he can to block the response of this. This is high treason. This is terrorism. He's on record blocking oil skimming ships, one that's from Taiwan that can get 500,000 gallons a day. I mean, this is amazing. And it's all being blocked so that it's the biggest disaster possible so we can get the carbon tax. Don't let a good crisis go to waste. This is high treason. We'll be covering it more tomorrow. Larry Becraft's our guest, but I wanted to play this from the Supreme Court with Elena Kagan, a Solicitor General, before them, arguing that the government can have it on the books that they can ban books. Here it is.
If Congress could say no TV and radio ads, could it also say no newspaper ads, no campaign biographies?
The government's view is that although 441B does cover full-length books, that there would be a quite good as-applied challenge to any attempt to apply 441B in that context. And I should say that the FEC has never applied 441B in that context. So for 60 years, a book has never been at issue.
What happened to the overbreadth doctrine? I mean, I thought our doctrine in the First Amendment is if you write it too broadly, we're not going to pare it back to the point where it's constitutional. If it's overbroad, it's invalid. What happened to that?
I don't think that it would be substantially overbroad, Justice Scalia, if I tell you that the FEC has never applied this statute to a book. To say that it doesn't apply to books is to take off, you know, essentially nothing from
We don't put our First Amendment rights in the hands of FEC bureaucrats.
Well, what if the particular movie involved here had not been distributed by...
And, of course, you know the federal government tried to stop a movie about Hillary Clinton that was critical of her, and they did stop it, saying that it criticized her, so it was bad. That's what campaign finance reform is. Restrict our free speech, let offshore corporations give even more money. Here's Bloomberg. Banks financing Mexico gangs admitted in Wells Fargo deal. We'll cover this more tomorrow. Bank of America, Wachovia, others just laundering drug money knowingly. Well, of course, that's why they keep drugs illegal, to keep the price up. But, I mean, Larry Becraft, they're now moving into books. They're now moving into speech. And you know, here she is saying the bureaucrats should be able to decide if you can write a book or not. I mean, this woman's a monster.
I don't disagree with you at all, but you know what she's saying there. She has the mindset. She sat down and wrote two law review articles that are similar in nature with the same philosophy. You know that philosophy embeds. You know, is the heart.
She says,
of the
"I get to decide." She says,
court.
"She says I'm a good person in her law review, and I'll decide. You can trust me with the power."
Why would you trust a bureaucrat with anything?
Well, I mean, this is insane. In our system of government, we trust no one with power that's unconstitutional.
You got that on the head. Hit the nail on the head. Hey, we've got to get the word out on Elena Kagan. I don't know whether we're going to have any impact, but you know, let me just say, everything that you've done, Alex, is going to is quantum leaps in the direction we need to go, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, Larry Becraft, I want to thank you, and have you back very, very soon to cover more of these issues. God bless you. Just search the term, Becraft Briefs, and that'll find your website for folks that want to check it out. We'll talk to you again very soon. Everybody should call Congress. Thank you, Larry. Take care. We need to call Congress. We need to call governors and have them call Congress. We need to call the media and say, is this the new precedent? I mean, a little monster socialist who believes you can ban books and who believes they can, quote, disappear speech and who doesn't believe in the Second Amendment. I mean, we almost lost our Second Amendment by one vote yesterday. See you back live tomorrow. Good job, crew.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.